Okay, so thank you everyone for working around my schedule. I appreciate it. I had a chasana last night, so tonight back to business. So I want to finish up and really start a new series, but obviously we're getting close to the Yom Nerayim, so we're going to kind of veer off a little bit. We will, believe it, have a special shiur the Tuesday before Rosh Hashanah, which I think is 2 weeks from last night. We're going to have a shiur discussing Prozbul. I'm sure everyone's been hearing in the background something about writing a Prozbul, needing a Prozbul, what it's all about. So we'll get to that in Mitzvah Shem. It's generally done before Rosh Hashanah. So if we do it that Tuesday before Rosh Hashanah, I give you like enough time to still get one done if you need it. And if after the shiur you still think you need one, we'll get to some of the pratim. But we know that that's going to be, I think the way it works out, if my math is correct, it's 2 weeks from last night, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to be the Tuesday before Rosh Hashanah, right? The Tuesday before Rosh Hashanah is that Sunday night, so we'll get it that Tuesday. Gives you plenty of time. Yeah, it gives you plenty of time to write a Prozbul. We'll just have, the hardest thing will be is packing in all that information for one show, because after Rosh Hashanah won't be that exciting to talk about it, so we'll try to cram it in. So I just want to finish up that we started this topic a while ago about lefties, and I think we learned more about lefties than we knew before, but I just want to wrap up with two more things, and we'll actually see tonight it's actually connected to Rosh Hashanah, which is interesting. And then the new topic I want to start is very off the beaten path, which is what I love. We're going to be talking about cutting one's fingers and nails and toenails, which is one of those areas in halacha that no one really talks about. It's like, you know, just do what you do. And we'll see there's a lot of interesting halachic literature about cutting one's toenails and nails, and we'll get to that, plenty of material. But again, we might stop it or interrupt it around Yom Tovim season. So let's just go back to where we left off. We're holding over here, Iter Yad B'Halacha Chela Gimel. We were talking about Tachanun last week. We were talking about which arm to fold Tachanun on. So we mentioned there really is a big machloikis Rishonim on which is the proper arm to fold Tachanun. And when I say fold Tachanun, I mean both Shacharis and Mincha. For example, many hold that even on Shacharis, you fall on the left arm, and by Mincha you fall on the left arm. It doesn't matter if there's Tefillin or not. That seems to be the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah is of the opinion, no. The Ramah thinks that we make like a Pshara. We say, well, it depends. If you're falling with, if you have Tefillin on your left arm, so then you fall on your right arm. If you don't have Tefillin, then you always fall on the reverse arm that you're not wearing Tefillin. That's like the Ramah's approach to it. So we saw last week, we started to talk about the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon does not go like the Ramah. The Vilna Gaon writes, he thinks the Shulchan Aruch is right, that we should always fall on our left arm, which means that if you're at least a lefty, well, it doesn't really matter for this at this point, you're always going to fall on your left arm, even though you have tefillin on your left arm in the morning. That was the opinion of the Vilna Gaon. Now, the Mishneh Brura says that even if you follow the Vilna Gaon, which is, again, you have permission, you may not do so if you're in a shul that does not follow the Vilna Gaon. So we know there are a lot of people that they call themselves grunics, whatever that means exactly, but they like to follow the minhagim of the grunics. So they say, I fall on my left arm even with my tefillin. Mishneh Brura writes very clearly, number two, well, you can't do that in a regular shul unless you're in a grunic shul. Because in the regular shul, that's not accepted practice, and you'll be in a violation of lois tiskaididu. You're not allowed to have divisions, agudas. We're not allowed to have subdivisions doing different things in each community, and therefore, it would be prohibited. That's what we started to talk about at the end of last week. Right, it doesn't sound like it's a prohibition. It just sounds like it's a cover thing. I mean, the Ramah kind of made like a pshara. The Vilna Gaon was against it. He thought, no, the real thing is the left. And so it's not, meaning it's not like it's really a bazillion to the tefillin. It's just that the Ramah was trying to make a peace. He said, well, listen, some say this. You know what? I'm going to work it out like this. You know, if this, then that. So the Vilna Gaon says, no, I think it should always go on the left arm. And it's not a bazillion for the tefillin. You're not doing anything disrespectful to the tefillin. So that's the sheet of the Gaon. So let's just quickly read number two one more time. The Mishneh Brura says very clearly that even if you are a gronik, and we'll see Rabbi Salavechik followed this Vilna Gaon, you may not do so if the rest of the shul is not a gronik. Which basically locks us into almost every shul locally, unless you really go to Eretz Yisrael. But here in New York, most shuls are not minhagi hagra, so you would not be allowed to fall on your left arm by shachris. This gra also didn't make it. This is what the gra writes. Well, I'll show it to you in number three. He writes in Mefurish. He says, V'das shulchan aruch ikr. He thinks that over here the Shulchan Aruch is more correct than the Ramah. He thinks you should always fall on the left arm. But I want another interesting thing from the Mishneh Brura. The Mishneh Brura writes, what happens if you're wearing tefillin by mincha? Amol you have people that for whatever reason they didn't put on tefillin by Shacharis. They didn't have tefillin, they weren't up to it, they weren't feeling well, whatever the reason or excuse may be. But they're wearing tefillin by Mincha. Happens quite often when you go to different types of shuls. So which arm do they fall tachon on then? So if you take a look in source 2, the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Zayin, the Ramah says that if you are either not wearing tefillin or you're davening nighttime, then you fall on your left arm. So we pointed out that this is one of those Ramos you should remember. When the Ramos says Arvis, he doesn't really mean nighttime. Because we know we don't say Tachanun at night. Tachanun is not allowed to be recited at night. So what does the Ramos mean when he says Arvis? He means Mincha time. So the Ramos says that if you're either not wearing tefillin by Shacharis, let's say for example, a guy takes his tefillin off in the morning after Shemoneh Esrei. Stomach reasons, whatever the reason is. And now he's not wearing tefillin. So he should fall on his left arm. However, says the Ramos, says the Mishnah Berurah, what happens if you're wearing tefillin? So he writes, let's see, Sifkat and Zayin, but Arvis, what's a loyma that said Arvis, Tahinu Mincha? Arvis doesn't mean you're saying Tachanun at nighttime. We don't say Tachanun at nighttime. We know that there are some people that are Makbid, they call it Minig Yerushalayim. That in Yerushalayim, they won't say Tachanun a second after Shkia. Many people do that here in America. It's against the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah does not pass him like that. Mishnah Berurah holds like the Taz, that you could say Tachanun Bein Hashmashes. And the Magen Avraham maybe argues, but to hear in America, people are Makbid like that also. I was away on vacation. Last week, 2 weeks ago, and there was a group of Svardisha, from Svardisha guy, and I heard a guy say, oh, it's after Shkia, I don't say Tachanun after the Shkia. So I didn't have the guts to say to him, oh, Chacham Avadya disagrees with you. Chacham Avadya writes in the Tshuva that you have at least 9.5 minutes after the Shkia to say it. And on top of that, the guy was wrong because it wasn't really Shkia yet. He was thinking it's New York time. We were in Pennsylvania, it was a little later, it wasn't even after the Shkia. But, right, but the problem with Tachanun is that Tachanun, the way the Achronim explain it, is because Tachanun is very much Rachamim, and nighttime is very much Din, and the two can never, meet up with each other. So, but the Maisa, Mishnah Berurah Paskins very clearly that you say Bein Hashmashes. But the Veld is Machmir because in Minig Yerushalayim is not to do it. I don't know what's Minig America, but Rebbe Yashiv and Rebbe Shlomo Zalman were both very Machmir. They would not allow Tachanun a minute after the Shkia. You lost it, and Rebbe Yashiv's Loshen was Chamira Sakanta Meyesura. And it's such a danger, it's so dangerous for these two worlds to collide, whatever that means, I don't know. And that's why a lot of shuls today also don't do. But it's just, for the record, it's against the Mishnah Berurah. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah, some Kuf Lamed Aleph, he writes explicitly, you have up to Bein Hashmashes. But okay, so writes the Mishnah Berurah, Arvis Miz Mincha. Fine. O Misha Menech Tvilin. Let's say, guys, Taka, we're Tvil my Mincha. Gam Shom Yipol Al Yeminhoi. He still puts it on his right arm. He says, no, in that case, if you're wearing tefillin by mincha, then you take a fall on your left arm. Mishnah Berurah doesn't pick sides. He just brings down both opinions. So we saw number three is the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon writes that he thinks like the Shulchan Aruch that you always fall on your left arm. Now, just for the sugya of lefties, the Debre Tzina Rav writes, so what does a lefty do? So by Shacharis, a lefty who has the tefillin on his right arm is going to fall on his left arm, according to the Ramah. Now, it's interesting, if a lefty would also be a gronik, right? So he'd anyways fall on his left arm, because according to the Gra, you always fall on your left arm, so that wouldn't make such a difference. But what about by mincha? Which arm does a lefty fall by mincha? So the Deborah Tzina Rav quotes a Prima Gadim, where the Prima Gadim is actually not sure. The Prima Gadim is Mesupik, but the Deborah Tzina Rav himself writes that he thinks a lefty should fall on his left arm as well. It's interesting, you always see, very often you see lefties that fall on their right arm. I don't know where that comes from. Because the only, again, the Prima Gadim is Mesupik. But the only one I saw that writes explicitly is the Debre Tzina Rav, and he writes very clearly, a lefty should also fall on his left arm. So, that's that. Number five is actually interesting. Rav Moshe Feinstein had a unique practice for Tachanun. Rav Moshe used to fall on both arms. He would like wrap his two arms together and go down like this. And he tries to explain in the Tshuva why that's not going against the Ramah. The Ramah says you go on your left, and Ramosha was going on both. So Ramosha deals with over here why he thinks that's not a contradiction to the Ramah. But I just want to get to the Nefesh HaRav, Rav Shechter quotes from Rabbi Soloveitchik. The Rabbi Soloveitchik had an interesting practice, number 6. The Chay Noig Lahatis Tomer Altsat Smoil Afilu B'Shachris Kishoy Olo Tfilin Ukemin HaGagur. Rabbi Soloveitchik's practice was to fall on his left arm, even when he was wearing tefillin, like the Vilna Goin. V'afilu Kishoy Mispal B'Beis HaMedrish V'Oilam Shomo Hoyu Noigim Karamo. This is the bigger chiddush. Even though we just read in the Mishnah Berurah, the Mishnah Berurah says that you can only follow the Gra if everyone else is following the Gra, and if you're in a regular shul, they don't follow the Gra, it's loisus kaididu. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't agree to that. He held, and wherever he davened, he would fall on his left arm, even though he had the tefillin on his left arm, which is in ruling of the Gra, not like the Ramah. Just an interesting idea. Okay, let's continue on in our quest for lefty knowledge, and something that actually takes us to in Yonah D'Yoma, to the blowing of the shofar. There is an interesting Ramah, number 7, bottom right corner, Tov Kuf Pehe, writes to Ramah, V'toyiv L'tkoya B'tzad Yemin. Where do you place the shofar, anyone who's a Baal Tekeya, where do you place the shofar on your mouth? Right, Stromo, you should try to put the shofar on the right side of your mouth. Im efshar litkoya bekach, if you could. Now, the wording of the Ramah does not sound like this is earth-shattering. What does he say? Im efshar litkoya bekach, if you could. And let's say you can't, so we'll get to, actually, there's a tshuva from the Maram Shek, where he talks about maybe is that a reason to be kicked out of the position of a shofar blower, or that's not enough of a reason. But Ramah brings down this idea that we're supposed to have the shofar on the right side of our mouth. Writes to Mishnah Berurah. Why? He says, number 8, Shel Yapiv Mishum Dechsiv, Asotun Oymed Al Yeminoi Lisitnoi. Because the Sotun stands on our right to fight us, so we want to have the shofar, you know, defending against the Sotun. So writes to Mishnah Berurah. Says to Mishnah Berurah, the next piece, Vimi Efshaloi. And let's say the Baal Tekeya comes to you and says, listen, I can't blow on my right side. I have a blister. It's uncomfortable. Writes to Mishnah Berurah, Ein lahakpid. Not such a big deal. Afim yamidenu b'tzad smol. Even if he puts it on the left side, v'gam piyah shofar l'tzad smol, even the opening, not the end of the world if the Baal Tekeya can't have it on the right side. Now, this is one of the most famous ber halachas in, I think, in all 6 of the Mishnah Berurah's halachim. Because there's a story behind it. It says, let's read the ber halacha together. The Ber Halacha is explaining why you put the shofar on the right side of your mouth. Writes the Ber Halacha, he quoted one reason, because of the Satan is on the right side. Then he writes, Oy shemati b'shem ha-goyin, Rav Meir Simcha ha-koyin. He said, I heard another reason from a great godel, Rav Meir Simcha. Who's Rav Meir Simcha? Known as Rav Meir Simcha of Divinsk, known as the Meshach Chachma, the Ar Sameach. He had a new reason. What was his reason? Ki b'shas Rosh Hashanah daf lamed dalet yalfi lo l'tkiyah shofar mechatzay tzeis hamelchama. The Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah makes a lot of comparisons to Hilcha Shofar from the chatzaytzeros that they blew when they went to war. V'ubekra etzel melchama b'gidon, and when they went to war in Gidon, it says vayachziku b'yatzmoylam belapidim, that they held them in their left hand, ubiyad yeminam hashofaros l'tkiyah, and in their right hand they held the shofaros to blow. So says the Ar Sameach, you see that there's a shtickle of remez in the pasuk that they held the shofar in the right hand. So you see from here that you're supposed to blow the shofar on the right side of your mouth. So, yeah. Now the stam is a kash on this Ar Sameach. What's the comparison? We were talking about where to put it on your mouth, and you're telling me which hand to hold. So that's kash number 1. Kash number 2 is, if you go through Ber Halacha, you go through Mishnah Berurah, he rarely quotes anyone who's a contemporary. The Ar Sameach was contemporary of his, 20th century. So why does he quote the Ar Sameach? Secondly, it's a Shver Ar Sameach, because his reason doesn't seem to even explain the pshat. We're trying to explain why he put it on the lip, on the mouth, and he tells you because they held it in the right hand. So the way the story goes, the legend, is that the Mishnah Berurah did this for a reason. There was a very famous meeting in 1910. There was a big meeting of the Rabbanim, how to deal with the Russian government. The Russian government wanted rabbis to get Russian training, to what we call today college, to have some form of secular education. And there was a big meeting how to deal with it. The Lom Zerov, the Divrei Malkiel, who we spoke a lot about when Tisha B'Av and Shavuos B'Tammuz, so he was en route to that meeting, and he died en route to that meeting in 1910. The great Lom Zerov Malkiel Tenenbaum, the Divrei Malkiel. So there was this big meeting, and at the meeting, the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Meir Simcha did not see eye to eye. Interestingly enough, Rav Meir Simcha wasn't so against college. He didn't think it's such a shver thing if the rabbis get some form of secular education. They probably won't say that today, but that was the Rav Meir Simcha's. So even the Chafetz Chaim fought very violently, you know, not violently physically, but strongly. So the Chafetz Chaim wanted to appease the Ar Sameach. So he says, you know what, I'm going to put him in my sefer. This way, everyone knows there's no bad blood between me and the Ar Sameach. That's the legend that everyone says. Beautiful, beautiful story. There's one little problem. This meeting happened in 1910. The printing of Chelek Vav came out in 1907. So unless the Mishnah Berurah was a Zan Novi, that he knew in 3 years he was going to fight with the Rav Meir Simcha, it's what we'd call today a Baba Maisa. So it probably is a Baba Maisa. But it's still a very strong kasha. Why did the Mishnah Berurah decide to put in this Ar Sameach? Mamish. Again, it's not even like the Ar Sameach is like Pasha Pshat in the Din. It's totally a Kasha even. So I don't have a good Pshat why, but that's why it's a famous Bar Halacha. Because everyone tells the story, but the story is not true. But in any case, it's not, for the record, it's not the only time he quotes a contemporary in Hilchos Shabbos. He actually quotes his son, Reb Avram, who tragically died very young from ailment, from a sickness. But it is true. You're not going to find him quoting contemporaries of his. This is a unique place in Halacha. But again, so what do you deal with the Kasha? So the way they answer the Kasha, what was our Kasha on the Meshech Chachma? What does the holding have to do with where you put it? So they say, well, generally the way you hold it is where you put it. You'd be pretty foolish to hold it in your right arm and put it over here. So Teretz, if you're holding it in your right arm, you're probably putting it on the right side. Okay. But either way, it's still a strange thing that the Mishnah Berurah quotes this this Meshech Chachma. But it's one of those Mishnah Berurahs to remember for life. Now, what does that do with the lefties? Because of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham comes over here, number 10, and he says, why taka do we put the shayf on the right side of our mouth? Right, it's the Magen Avraham. Like the Mishnah Berurah told us, because the Satan is on the right side, so we want to have, the tack, he's on our right, so the shayf is on the right, it attacks him directly. The Kasa B'Shalah, the Shalah writes, Shekeinochan al-Pi Kabbalah, the Loiki Levush, not like the Levush thought, you actually should put the shayfer on the left side of your mouth. We'll come back to it. Uben Hagois Min Hagin Kasa V'Loi B'Smoil, why don't you put on the left? Why don't you put it on the left? Because I already have coverage on my left. What's the coverage of my left? My left is my left side, is my tefillin. That's already defending against the satan. Obviously, there's no tefillin on Rosh Hashanah, right? It means that this is the arm that I use for tefillin. So now my right side is vulnerable. So for my right side, I put the shayfer. That's the pshat. So imkein sfrek the Magen Avraham. What about a lefty? A lefty puts tefillin on his right arm. So now his left arm is vulnerable. So maybe he should put the shofar on his left arm. So on his left side of his mouth. Right? So the Magen Avraham, Vimkin, Ito, Yeshut Kay, Biyamindi Day. So here points out the Magen Avraham, how we have a nafkamina. If the reason why we put it on the right side is because we already have coverage on the left side, what happens if you don't have coverage on the left side? So then you should switch the shofar and put it on the left side. If you take a look at the Mat Ephraim. What?
So what protects us?
Right, so
it gives us coverage all 363 days.
Right, so when it just shows you, look what we're fighting on Rosh Hashanah, right? We gotta have so much coverage. We gotta have the tefillin arm, we gotta have the shayfer there.
Usually, it's the opposite side of the left, right? Usually, I don't know what we're talking about.
But that's when we're talking about Hashem. Right, here we're talking about the satan, I guess. So when the satan, we line up, but right, we don't work like we do with Hashem. So if you look in the Mat Ephraim, he writes interestingly, he says, Acha gemar bricha shechiyonu, oinin hatzibur amin. So after the Baal Tekeh makes the second bracha, so we answer amin. Va'od yechaz ha-shofar b'yiminoi. Then he picks up the shofar in his right arm, his right hand. U'mamid b'tzad yamin shel piv. And he puts it on the right side of his mouth. L'fisha b'smorl ha-tfilin meginam al-odim. Because the left side you're already covered by the tfilin. V'iter yad, says the Mat Ephraim, and a lefty, Shemeniach tefillin b'yamin, he's putting tefillin on his right, Yanichenu litzad yamin piv shaloi, shu smol shal adam acher. He taka should put the shofar on the left side of his mouth. So, very clear, Mat Ephraim assumes for Dava Pashat. Lefty switches it up. Writes to Aruch HaShulchan, he says over here, V'toiv litzkei b'tzad yamin, emef shebekach v'loi b'tzad smol, the yamin mayra al racham. He's a different reason, because the left implies rachamim usmol al din. You want to put the small is din and the right is rachamim, so you want to go with the right, which is rachamim. The yesh mishayim, some people say, di'ita, you talk about tzad small. So what do you do with a lefty? So a lefty should belong on his left. Shuhu yamin di day, dumi di tefillin. V'dover t'muahu. Says Aruch HaShulchan, no way. Kiven shuhu osa ze b'shul rabim. Says Aruch HaShulchan, what do you mean? You're not blowing for yourself. You're blowing for the people. So he writes, then yesh leilich acha yamin di rabim. You should go after the people. And most people are probably righties. So therefore, says Aruch HaShulchan, I disagree with the Mat Ephraim. I think even if the Baal Tekeh happens to be lefty, he still should blow from the right side of his mouth. Then he writes, Acha levush kosav shal pi kabola toiv yoysel etkoy letzat smol. The levush happens to disagree with everything. The levush thinks al pi kabola, you should always blow on the left side of your mouth. We don't paskin like the levush, but that's the opinion of the levush. So we have a little bit of a shayla over here. Which side of the mouth would a lefty put the shayf? Would he put it on his right side of his mouth, or would he put it on the left side of his mouth? Shlomo Zalman Orbach paskins clearly number 13, Iter yad yaminoi, a lefty, yitin hashofar bepiv bitzat smol kol adam. He puts the shofar on the left side of all people, afim tokeya rak l'hoitzi esachem, even if he's blowing for other people, against the Aruch HaShulchan like the Mat Ephraim. And I found over here a very interesting shtickle. This is really just for Rosh Hashanah. Why taka does Levush think you should blow from the left side of your mouth? The Levush kosav shapi kabbalah yesh lechos ha-shoifer b'tzad smol shapif. The Levush's opinion is that al pi kabbalah the shoifer should go on the left side. Why? The yesh lechosif. So he wants to say pshat like this. Shebeseifer hamin hagim shav ravrom klazna kosav yipol b'tachon al-tzad smol. Takes us back to our tachlin sugya. Some people hold that we do tachlin on the left arm. That was the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the sheet of the Vilna Gaon. That was the sheet of Rabbi Soloveitchik. You always fall tachlin on your left arm. Umayishna tzad smol me'emin. Inyan acher kedei lizkor akedas Yitzchok. That's to do with the akeda. Shekishirotza Avram l'shoichte. When Avram wanted to shecht him, shochav al tzad smol. He rested him on the left side. So the left side is always going back to the akeda. V'chenu b'sefer matem Moshe. So he says, very gishmak, we know that the shofar is definitely connected to the Akedah. Many halachas are comparable to, or not halachas, but many nehagim are connected to the Akedah. So he says, very good. Now you understand why the shofar should go on the left side of your mouth. Because since the part of the Akedah was connected to the left side, that was the side that he was tied up on, so to say, or that was the side he put him on. Huh? I guess a medrash somewhere. I don't know. So I guess we know it somehow. And therefore, when it comes to the shofar, it makes a lot of sense that the shofar should also be on the left side of the mouth. Then here in the footnote, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman just has a great question. He says, I don't understand. Why is everyone muttering which side of the mouth to hold the shofar? He says, what happened to the good old-fashioned rule of right is more chashuv? He writes over number 15. Right? Everyone's trying to figure out why should you put the shofar on the right side of your mouth. Well, either because the satan's on the right side, or because I already have coverage of my tefillin. He says, I don't get it. What happened to the good old-fashioned rule that right wins? It's interesting. We're trying to figure out why you put the shofar on the right side of your mouth. So the Magen Avraham said, because the satan's on the right side, we want to go up against him. The other reason is because it falls on the left, so you already have coverage, so now you need coverage for the right. I don't get it. Don't we have a rule that everything goes with the right is more chashiv, everything's normally on the right? So he was saying that depending on the person. But forget lefties for a second. If someone asked you, which side of the mouth do you think you should blow the shofar, so you'd say right, because right is always more chashiv. That's not what they say. They say, well, of course, the satan, they have all these fancy terutzim. So Shem Zalman gives us a great yesod over here. He writes over here, Nira de lo yamin yamin adif el kisha yamin vasmon nikarim kolecha befne asma. Says Shem Zalman, a fantastic yesod. The only time we talk about right being more chashiv than left is when there are two distinct options. There's right hand or left hand. So right's more chashiv than the left. He says, the mouth is one entity. It's one chefza. You don't say there's two sides to the mouth. There's a left side. It's one mouth. So he says, when there's one chefza, when there's one thing, you don't say the right side is more chashiv than the left side. He says, I'll prove it to you. We know there's halacha that you're supposed to wash your head first. So is there halacha you're supposed to wash the right side of your head first? So he says, no such halacha. Because the head is one entity. There is halacha you're supposed to wash the right arm before the left arm. And because the right arm and the left arm are two separate things. But says Ibn Shamazaman, the head is one body part. One body part, there's no mile of one over the other. The nail is up to Shem Zalman. Same thing with the mouth. The mouth is one mouth, and therefore there's no mile of the right side of the mouth. Because there's more chashivas to the right side of the mouth. What do you mean there's more chashivas? The right side of the mouth is the same mouth. Mashenki, an arm and a leg, those are two distinct body parts. Interesting yesod from Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Then we'll just wrap up over here. Number 16 from the Maram Shik, he was asked an interesting shayla, where he was presented with two very competent, two different people that can blow shofar, we'll say it that way. One guy was taka about masim tovim, a choshev guy, a wonderful guy, but he couldn't figure out how to blow on the right side of his mouth. He struggled with this. And the other guy was probably not such a big guy, not such a tzaddik, but he could blow on the right side of the mouth. So which one should you pick? So obviously the Maram Shik is going to tell us that you want to go with the guy who's a Baal Midas Tovis, and that's more important than which side of the mouth he puts the shofar, because as we saw in the Ramah, it's not necessarily the most earth-shattering thing. Just to wrap up, believe it or not, the only time left hand beats out the right hand is when you go to a cemetery. This is the big season. We had a share about that probably years ago, where we talked about going to the cemetery this time of the year. So there's actually a Shari Tshuva with a Ber Heita that says when you go, you're supposed to put a rock down to show you were here with the left hand, not with the right hand. It's one of the rare times, and I couldn't find any good reasons for it. I looked, I looked, I looked. I couldn't find any Nesinas Hatam for this, but that is the way it's recorded by the Shari Tshuva. That's where Rabbi Avadya writes it in the Tshuva. That's the way it's written in all the Avelos books and Svarim, that when you bedavka put your hand on the left, use your left hand, not your right hand. So that was like, to me, interesting, a situation where we find the left perhaps takes over more chashivas than the right. Okay. I would think not. I don't know. It's hard to know why the left does it, so I would think
perhaps. Makes sense, probably, because it's far.
What's the svar?
Svar is very simple, because usually your right is always to give chashivas, right, and you don't want to be mivayish to meis.
That's for sure.
I would think, you know, you have chashivas, you have gvura from your right and everything else. So you're showing it like your left, like I'm with you. You know what I mean? Like you feel
like. I don't know. I never.
I made this up right now.
Yeah, and it sounds nice. Yeah, you know? Sounds nice. But I have no idea. I can't say a shtickle tarif. I don't know. So maybe. I didn't see anyone say either way, so I don't know. That's the problem with this sugi with the lefty. Sometimes.
Like you don't wear your tits out in front of us, or this or that. You know?
Yeah, but that's brought down. That I can work with. You know, that's. Say here. I hear. I don't know. Could be right. I don't know. So Adkan has sugi for lefties. There's more to talk about. I even make another. On the next booklet, there's one more page if you're really desperate to learn about lefties, but it's not negev for us. It's more negev before Pesach. It's a shayla about which side does a lefty lean. So maybe Pesach time, we can revisit that sugya. Okay, let's move on. Number 19 is totally, we're now switching over to the sugya of cutting nails and cutting fingernails and and toenails. Sounds really random, but you'll see a lot of fascinating halachas. So let's start number 19 on the single page. Says the Ramah, Saris Reisha Gedolois Mitzvah Legalcha. This is in Hilcha Shabbos, Semen Reish Samach. Writes the Ramah, long hair should be cut before Shabbos. Obviously, you don't have to get a haircut every Friday, unless your hair grows ridiculously fast. But when it starts to get long, you should take a haircut before Shabbos. And when you cut your fingernails, do not cut them in order. What do they mean in order? Like this. One, 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 or maybe this way. But don't cut them one after the other. And people think this is like wuji wuji. This is a Ramon Shulchan Aruch. This is not Sifrei Kabbalah over here. And he writes, V'yaschil b'smol. And you start with the left hand. So the simple reading of the Ramah sounds like when you cut your nails, you're supposed to go left hand first. So then the Shaila says, what about a righty? What about a lefty? Does he reverse the order? I don't know. But we'll see, many hold that V'yaschil b'smol doesn't mean you have to start with the left hand. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky is bothered with this. He says, why should you start with your left hand first? What happened to giving chashivas to the right? So Rabbi Yaakov says, alum this. Rabbi Yaakov says that cutting your nails is like taking your shoes off. You know, when you take your shoes off, which shoe comes off first? The left. This way the right is left holding the shoe. So says Rabbi Yaakov, maybe that's the same thing with the nails. You want to give chashivas to the right hand by leaving its nails on longer than the left. Which is a little funny to think like that. You would think the opposite. You would think cutting the nails is a... But as I zok to Rabbi Yaakov, pshat in this Ramah. Okay. So we start with our left hand, b'kmitza, u'b'yamin, b'emtza. The simon lezeh. How are you supposed to remember? So the Ramah says, here's a simon. The beis, hey, gimel, aleph. Those are the fingers of your hand. Four. So it goes 4, 2, 3, 1. Good luck remembering that. U'bedalit, aleph, gimel, hey, b'yamin. And on the right hand, it goes 2, 4, right? 2, 4, 1, 3, 5. Sounds like a combination over here, right?
Which is two.
He writes over. He says the yatschil b'smol b'kmitza. We start by the kmitza, by the pinky. So we work our way. Good luck. Now we'll see. Many achronim hold that it's not so much the order, just not going in order. Meaning we don't care if it's 1, 3, 2, 5. Da da da. It just don't do straight. Make sure you're alternating between the fingers. That's the big hakpada that we'll see. Now what's this all about? So if you take a look at number 20, the Darki Moshe, the Ramah, he quotes him the Avudraham. Hanoidil tziporniv yodov lo yitlon kiseder. Do not cut your fingernails in order. Elo bederich ze yad yamin. He actually talks about the right first, which is interesting. The Ramah says it's like you do left first. It goes aleph gimel hey beis dalid. V'yad smol dalid beis hey gimel aleph. V'shamati b'shem chochmei tzarfas u'provancio. And I heard from the Chachomim in France and Provencia, which is southern Italy, Shanoitel Siporno Kiseder, a person cuts his fingernails in order, Kosholanias, it causes poverty, Ule Shechachan, to forget your learning, the Likver Bonim, and causes a person to bury their children. Elayitel Kiseder She'amarnu. Instead, cut them in the order that I told you. That's spooky. Spooky stuff here. No one wants any of those things, chas v'shalom. So that's already gets you a little bit more scary, nervous when you read something like that.
Men and women both?
Yeah, pashtus.
Is it cutting or filing or both?
So we're going to talk a little bit more as we get into this topic, what's considered cutting nails. Biting nails, cutting nails, all these things we'll get to, Blin Eder, and subsequent Shurim.
Where is this?
This is the Darki Moshe, it's in Reish Mem Aleph. It's not in Reish Samach, it's in Reish Mem Aleph, all in Aruch Chaim.
But the Ramah, where?
The Ramah is in Reish Samach, Hilchos Shabbos.
Hilchos
Shabbos. That's where the Ramah talks about this.
Does this come down from a Gemara?
No. He says he got it from the Chachmei Tzarfas of Provence. That's the Balei HaTosfos. That was the Zman HaRishonim. We're talking about the times of the Rishonim. They must have had some tradition somewhere. Again, to the best of my knowledge, we'll get to it in a subsequent booklet, that there's very little, there's two famous Gemaras that talk about nails. Famous Gemara Moed Katan, the famous Gemara Nida, which we'll get to Blin Eder when we get there, but there's not that much, maybe some guy wants to write a sefer on it, that'd probably be an interesting sefer, cutting nails by halach or something, but it's not that much. It's very little. So I tried to dig up whatever I could find. Now, it's interesting, if you look over here, in the Magen Avraham, Magen Avraham quotes a Arizal, very very important Arizal. The Arizal writes, "Haya milaig alze." He would like make fun of this Ramah, obviously respectfully, meaning he didn't think that cutting your nails in order is a terrible thing. He wasn't too concerned about cutting his nails in order. V'loy haya choishish lekach, and he wasn't worried. I mean, the Arizal used to do it.
The Arizal is more of a Kabbalah kind of a guy.
Exactly. And we'll see even more than that. The Arizal had a very, what we'd call today, a lax attitude to cutting nails. He held you can cut toes and nails on the same day, which the others say you can't. And his chassidim, we always think chassidim follow the Arizal. Not with this one. This one, they're, I guess, chamira sakanta meyasura. No one seems to buy, it seems to be as lenient as the Arizal. But he writes, so this is the Magen Avraham talking. He writes, miu yesh li hizoy lechatchila. Even though the Arizal said it's not a big deal, it's nothing to worry about if you cut in order, but I think you should still be careful. Magen Avraham talking. If you look in the Aruch HaShulchan writes, V'chol elu hadvarim ein lehem shum mokim bedin. These things don't have sources. It's not like a Gemara that says you can't cut your fingernails in a row. Uman de kopid, kopid. Uman de loy kopid, loy kopid. So yeah, you buy into it. You buy into it. If if your family has a tradition to be makbid, I'm not sure what he means. Man the kopit kopit. Some people are not makbid because it just cramps their style, so they're not makbid. Does that mean? Does that count? Or it means I have a tradition that my grandparents, were never makbid.
Like you said, it's the
Ramah. Right. We're not. I'm not showing you a sefer that came out 50 years ago. We're talking about Ramah quoting from Chachmei Tzarfas and Provence. We're not talking about new chiddush that we made up. Then he writes at the end, he says, V'yikot mikoydim atzpunayim shal yad yamin. He says, you actually should cut the nails on the right hand first. V'achakach shal smo. And then you should cut the on the left. B'shem ha'kol b'yaviyu lehepech litol tchila shal smo. V'yedati taima. I don't know why you would do the left hand first. Like Rabbi Yaakov pointed out, why would you do the left hand first? If everything, we always know, chashiva's right goes first. So many people taka are not makbid on the left. They taka do cut the right hand first. Right, so you think the right should go first. You want your right hand to look better, right? So the quicker you cut it, the right hand looks... So Yaakov said it's the opposite. Yaakov said that it's like taking off your shoes. But I don't know. That doesn't seem to make logically the way we've understood it.
So what's the makor for the same rabbi?
For what?
Just the cutting of the nails. But one said it's not something to be so...
The Darkei Moshe quotes the Avud Raham, who says he heard it from the Chachmei Tzarfas of Provencia, the great rabbis of southern Italy and France. Those were the Balei Rishonim. Those were the Balei HaTosfos.
The Ramah person doesn't
feel that. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, since that these things don't exactly have, Gemara sources, so it's not the end of the world. Even though the Ramah records it, the Ramah writes.
It really defies logic, really.
We don't understand any of this stuff. Right. This doesn't really make too much sense. But again, but I think when you read the whole of Avud Raham, you get chills down. It's spooky. No one wants Chas V'Shalom anything like that. So we get nervous.
It makes sense to put nails as well as hands.
We'll get to that. Machoikis also. Machoikis. We'll see if this chumrah of Seder has to do with nails also. So my wife, I don't know, I guess I was talking to her. So she cuts the kids' nails. My little kids don't cut their own nails, so you have to cut their nails. She told me she never heard of this halacha. She might have never heard of this thing in her life.
My mother doesn't know, but this nails was like...
Because these things are... We'll get to that. That we'll get to. That's a Gemara. That's Taka Gemara. Those are Gemara in two places.
So if they go to manicurists, whatever you want, they should advise the people to do it otherwise seriously.
Is it your cutting or somebody else cutting?
So we're gonna see when we get to eventually when we talk about washing hands. Are you supposed to wash your hands after? What happens if you cut someone else's nails or someone else cuts your nails? So that we'll get to. That's not so poshut. With this, I don't know. I would assume if someone else is cutting your nails, I'd also be chayshish.
It'd be nice if they had advertisements.
Right. Yeah. We'll see. We'll get to Blinedim. We'll talk about all the shilas that come up. That people ask about, what pregnant women going to get manicures, they're always very nervous. You get the shiloh all the time. Pregnant ladies are very nervous to go to manicures because there's nails all over the floor. They're all nervous. So we'll talk about it, Blue Nether. We'll come back to that. It's a much later booklet. I don't think we'll get to that before Rosh Hashanah Kippur.
Right. My daughter's living in my house, so she's pregnant. I'm scared she's going
to... Right. So the Gemara says the women can miscarry. Now we'll see. The Gemara also says that if the nail gets moved, it's not a problem. We'll get to it. So this is interesting. You shouldn't cut the nails, Kaseidim. However, comes along with Nissen Karelitz, and he writes a big chiddush. I think it's a chiddush. He writes Kasev Ramah. He quotes our Ramah. He says Nira de after mistoma ikar akpadu hu shelo yeh kisidrum. He says even though he thinks that it just means it shouldn't be in order, mikomakam yeshlo lasas kaseidam muva b'Ramah. Meaning, there's two ways to learn the Ramah. One way you learn the Ramah is that the order does matter, whatever 1, 3, 2, 5. Or the point is just don't do them in order. You could learn the Ramah one of two ways. Because Ramah says don't do a Keseder, but then he gives you a very, very clear way to do it. So says in this Karel, he really thinks that the Ikar Akpod of the Ramah is not so much, because I told my wife, she's like, forget, I'm not going to remember this 1, 3, 2, 5. Most of us can't, right? So Mr. Karel thinks that really, as long as you're not doing it Keseder, then you're really okay. You're in safe territory, as long as you're not doing the Keseder. When you do a Keseder, then you're going to get yourself Chas V'Shalom into a... Right.
And then do it straight. You know,
but what do you mean then do it straight?
I guess one.
Right. He writes Kemitza for it. That was Ramon.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? But let's say you just do one out of the order,
initially. Right. Then which way do you go?
Then can you just do everything else?
I don't know. I always thought order means you never want to do two. I have no idea.
Right.
That's why I told him I just mix it around the order, you know, like jump around. But I don't know. Again, I don't know so much. It's hard to get a good read on a lot of this stuff. So if you take a look over in Orchas Rabbeinu, they quote from the stipler. So he writes this: Pam Shbishnas Tov Shemem Gimel, 1983, B'yom Heba Boiker, Thursday morning. Nechtasdi l'mayvi Rebbe Shlit. I came to the stipler. V'reizi shenoytel at Siporne Yodov. He was cutting his fingernails. We'll see why that's important when we get to the whole shaila. Do you cut your fingernails on Thursday or do you cut your fingernails on Friday? We'll get back to that. A different sugya. V'noytel Siporne Yad Yemin B'smayloy Tchila. He was cutting his right fingernails, even though Moiv Rebbe Iter, he was a lefty. The Hischel Bitsiparin. In the stipler helm, they didn't care which finger you started. Just don't go in order. Then if you look over here, Shmuel Kamenetsky is quoted as saying the same thing. He says, Vedanti if Neymoy Rebbe Shlita, Dulcher Mashmois, or Mash Machi, Shehiska Shasmo Tchila, Vachach Shoyamin. He held like his father, Shmuel. That doesn't make sense. You should cut your left hand first. The right, like Rabbi Yaakov asked. He says he thinks it's poshut that Yutaka should go with the right hand first. Even though the Ramah sounds not like that, like his father was bothered with the same kasha, that he thinks Yutaka should do the right hand first. Then he writes in the footnote, V'ayin kuntris ish iter. That's where Rabbi Pesach Kron based his sefer on. This kuntris ish iter from Reb Chaim Kanevsky about lefties. Shekosav yaschel b'smol. I mean, the Ramah says you start with your left hand. So he writes, l'fim ha-shekosav b'fim ha-gadim tam l'zeh in l'chalik b'in ita la'alma. There's no difference between a lefty and a righty. That both lefties and righties would start with their left hand. But this is the part I want. V'oyim me'moiv reb shlito she'ikar akpeidu hu shleilito ha-tzpurnayim zeh etzel zeh. Not two next to each other. V'in tzarech l'hakpid kol kach ha-laseidu she'niska b'ramah. So we have room to be makel over here, and this in Karelitz, and this in the Kanievsky family, and Shmuel Kamenetsky, that it's not so much 1, 3, 2, 5, whatever the numbers are, it's just don't do two next to each other. Spread them out, one from the other. Alright, what about the toenails? So if you look over number 28, the Prisha, he writes, V'les chiluk b'chol zeh 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 b'chol ze The same way you can't cut your fingernails beseder, you can't cut your toenails beseder either. We don't see any difference in halacha between fingernails and toenails, therefore there is no chiluk, and therefore both should be the same halacha.
Except the fact that they make reference to the hands about the kemitzah, it seems to indicate really it's more of a hand thing than the urine.
Well, clearly the Ramo was talking about fingernails, there's no question.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we'll talk about, it's not even so posh that you have to cut your toenails every Friday. Toenails grow slower than the fingernails. So the question is this, when we find the concept in halacha about this, right, if you look in the source, Hanoitil Tziporne Yodov, right, the source, which I think there are those who actually put in both, Yodav Iraga, but the way we have it, it was fingernails. But it's interesting, the Chazon Ish disagreed. Chazon Ish says, Benetilas HaTziporneim Hoy Medalik, V'davka D'yedayim Aval D'Raglayim Loi. When the Chazon Ish would cut his nails, so on his fingernails, Hitaka was Medalik, he would skip around, he wouldn't do two next to each other, but his toenails, he had no such problem. Interesting, Shmuel Kamenetsky Paskins, not like that. He thinks that like the Prisha, that what, the same way when it comes to fingernails, we don't have one next to the other, we should be makbud on your toes. So again, with your toes, machloikis achroinim, but with the fingernails, it seems like, besides for the Arizal, it seems like everyone was in agreement that we should not be doing doing them kiseder.
We don't do this by fear, right? Is that one of the things, you know, like take a haircut, or you like cut your fingernails?
Yeah, yeah, you cut your nails during the Shabbat. Yeah, yeah, that's fine. So the even during 3 weeks, 9 days, the pashtus is till shvu shachal, but it's also probably mutter. So halacha lemaisa, this is just an interesting takeaway that we should be more careful when we cut our fingernails not to do them kaseder. Okay, are we stopping? We're going to invite the mic. What are we doing?
It's up to you. Are you guys leaving for
Smith? I'm going to
be clever, but are you, Jeff? Are you going? You don't go. Do you go to Smith? No,
okay. So keep it going. Okay, I'm trying to cover as much material as we can. So if you go to the next booklet, so the next booklet has two papers to it. One paper says Iter Yad Ba'alocha Chelik Dalit. If anyone has a desire to learn more about lefties, so you can take that home and learn it on your own. That's the whole sugya of which side does a lefty lean on for Lel Seder. Again, unless you have a lefty in your house, it's not really good. It's interesting, but not for now. Let's go back to the next page. Netilas Sipurnaim Yad V'Regel V'Yemechad. Now that we got started to talk about the fingers and the nails, let's go even more crazy. Let's talk about cutting your fingernails and your toenails on the same day. What's that about? So let's start like this. Writes the Magen Avraham.
I thought you meant to be on Sunday.
No.
I thought
you
meant on Sunday.
No. Gotta be more careful. Okay. So let's take a look.
I remember you once told me that Matzah Shabbos. There's no reason.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So let's see. Zok the Magen Avraham. Zok the Magen Avraham. Again, a lot of these sources are in Hilchah Shabbos, Simen Reish Samach, because that's where the Ramah discusses cutting your nails and cutting your fingers. Writes the Ramah. You should not cut your nails on a Thursday. Why? Because they grow on Shabbos. So what? So there's a couple different ways to read this comment. One way people learn it, which is very hard to explain alum, this is, and because it grows on Shabbos, it's somehow as if you're causing it to grow and you're in a violation of some Shabbos prohibition. That's very hard to explain in any form of alumdus, because what on earth did I do? I didn't do anything.
It's not considered psik reishi either. Like,
well, yeah, well,
don't cut your hair either.
Yeah, I'm saying our bodies grow on our own. There's nothing we can do about it. The more logical way of learning this comment, which is the way that Mr. Brewer learns it, is that it's not halachic, but it's practical. Meaning, if the reason why you cut your nails is because you want to have short nails on Shabbos, but if they're going to start to grow on Shabbos, and then it's going to defeat the purpose. Now, the obvious argument on that is, yeah, but it's not going to be long.
Right.
It's not going to be long, but this is the comment of the Magen Avraham. It is. It's not covered because now they're starting to grow back already.
You do it for Shabbos and you do it on Friday, like you do showering or whatever.
Right.
So I put that to do it on Thursday when you can do it on Friday, because that where it's more bigger that it's covered Shabbos. So that would.
No, but he said they should deal with Shabbos because they grow on Shabbos. So the question is, so what? They grow on Shabbos. Fine, they grow on Shabbos. So see, Mr. Brewer explains this comment to mean, and because they grow on Shabbos, so you didn't get anything. You're going to have long nails on Shabbos. Now you're not going to have long nails on Shabbos. You're going to have growing nails on Shabbos. So let's see. So here's another Shari Tshuva. The Shari Tshuva quotes from the Chida, who quotes again, Sha'av shekol achreinim kasru divrei ha-magid meisharim. Shuva yika tziporni yod divraglo b'yem echod. Again, another halacha. You're not supposed to cut your toenails and your fingernails on the same day. Says the Shari Tshuva, Ein lochosh lezeh. Don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Why? The beseder hakavono is memirash vital from Reb Shmuel, I think Shmuel or Shlomo Vital, Reb Chaim Vital's son, who was Reb Chaim Vital, the prime student of the Arizal, where most of the Arizal's writings are from him, because Arizal himself wasn't, we don't have his writings. Shehitik mitaris yada kodesh me oviv agoin Reb Chaim Vital, kosef sherabeinu Arizal yoyim hashishi, hayenoytel tziporne yodav raglov. You know what the Arizal used to do on Friday? He would cut his fingernails and his toenails. So you see, it's not such a big deal to cut your fingernails and your toenails. So it's interesting. Here we have two Arizals that seem to go against what has become accepted chumra dika halacha, that we don't cut keseder and we don't cut on the same day. And Arizal, both of them had no problems with them. How do we paskin? Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number 3. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, b'yoyim chamishi makpidim shloi litlon. You should not cut your fingernails on a Thursday. Why? Because they start to grow back on the third day of when you cut them. It's not really helping to be an honor for Shabbos. When they start to grow back. They grow back, it's very minimal. Okay, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But then he writes, there are those who say, you should not cut your toenails and fingernails on the same day. Not only that, you shouldn't cut your toenails on a Tuesday. Only on Friday. Oy be'erev Yom Tov. Anu halacha. Don't cut your toes on a Tuesday, on a Thursday. No, only on a Friday or Erev Shabbos. V'hanochin writes to Mishnah Berurah, she'yikos min ha'reglayim b'yom chamishi u'min yadayim b'yom shishi. Paskas Mishnah Berurah, halacha l'maisa, Yitaka should split them up. Don't do them on the same day. So you should cut your toenails on Thursday, fingernails on Friday. Azoy paskins the Mishnah Berurah. It's interesting. If you take a look at the Mat Ephraim,
but it didn't say why you can't cut it the same day.
We'll come back to it. We'll see. We'll see. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says it's a sakana.
But the Shaar Tshuva doesn't say
it. He doesn't get into it. He just says that the Arizal wasn't makbid. So let's see the Mat Ephraim. Interesting Mat Ephraim over here. The Mat Ephraim writes in Hilchos Yom Kippur. So we know that Mat Ephraim was Ephraim Zalman Margolis. We've spoken about him many times in many different shurim, but this time of the year, the Mat Ephraim is the most used sefer. When I was in yeshiva, in high school, we learned Mat Ephraim separate. Not like Mishnah Berurah, we learned the sefer, Mat Ephraim. I remember I had to have one in yeshiva. Just the Mat Ephraim, straight Mat Ephraim. It's just a little risky to do it that way because not every Mat Ephraim is always practiced, but if you know all of Mat Ephraim, you'll be very well prepared for the Yom Neroim and Sukkot, if you know every Mat Ephraim. Even if we don't keep every Mat Ephraim, you'll be quite a knowledgeable Jew. But the point is, the Mat Ephraim is the basic text that we use from everything from beginning of Elul till Motzei Sukkot. If anyone remembers when we did our Erevin series, however long we were still not in person, so we spoke a lot about the Mat Ephraim, but a big machloikis against another Rav about Erevin, and the Mat Ephraim never held a rabbinic position. Mat Ephraim was what we'd call today a balabos. He never held a rabbinic, he was a very successful balabas, quite wealthy. He had his own yeshiva, but he never had a rabbinic position. And he fought against many rabbonim, and he usually won. We usually passed like him over the local rabbi, which today is chiddush, but back then that was, he won the Mat Ephraim. He won about Erevin. I remember we spoke a lot about it. So the Mat Ephraim, I thought this is Hilchos Yom Kippur. What about when a man goes to the mikvah on Erevin Kippur? I remember the first time I went to the mikvah after I was married, so I was back like in 5 minutes. Wife was like, I don't understand. When I get ready for the mikvah, it takes me 2 hours. How are you back in 5 minutes? So the answer is because when men go to the mikvah, they don't do chafifa. Women have a whole list in Shulchan Aruch of all the things they have to do, a whole preparation for the mikvah. Taka takes a long time. For men, we just jump in. Now, the truth is, we spoke about this a couple of years ago, that for Yom Kippur, Tfilas Yom Kippur, even for a man, there perhaps is a good push to be a little bit more makbid. If a guy has a band-aid on his foot, he should take it off. If a guy has you're dirty, you know, there's more to do chafifa-wise in Erev Yom Kippur than there is in Erev Rosh Hashanah or on a regular Shabbos. So here the Mat Ephraim writes in number 4. He writes, Yesh ledaktik b'chatzitza yoisim b'shar tfilis. When it comes to Yom Kippur, you should be a little bit more makbid with chatzitza. She'toiv l'mazcharim b'chol yimoy sashone she'im edaktik b'chol kach. On a regular Friday, most guys are not looking for chatzitzas. They'll go unless it's like a roiv gufay, unless the chatzitza covers unless the guy's in a body cast, he'll go into the mikvah with whatever little chatzitza he has. He calls a miyat sheinah makbid and he moves on. But Yom Kippur writes the Mat Ephraim should be more makbid. So therefore, before you go to the beis hamerchitz, yitol tziporniv. Taka should cut your toenails before you go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. Vim tziporni raglu gedolim, and if they grow. Yesh litigam oisim, meaning you're supposed to cut your fingernails, and if your toenails happen to grow, you cut them also. Obviously, if they don't grow, you don't have to cut them. Ulefisha ein litot ziporni yodav erglayim b'yom echad, said the Mat Ephraim, and since we don't cut our toenails and fingernails on the same day, we got a problem. So what do you do now? So what do you see from this matter, Ephraim? That he took this seriously. He took cutting your toenails and fingernails on the same day very seriously. So he writes, so he says, so let's say this year Erev Yom Kippur is Tuesday. So on Tuesday is Erev Yom Kippur. You'll cut your fingernails on Tuesday and cut your toenails on Monday. This way you're not cutting them on the same day. What happens if you forgot? You didn't show up to this halacha share. You didn't read this matter Ephraim. And you show up Tuesday. So you start cutting your toenails and your fingernails and you realize, hey, you're not allowed to cut your toenails and fingernails on the same day. So what do you do? He writes, V'im osat sipon of raglov me'etmoil. He writes, V'im loy osat sipon of raglov me'etmoil. Let's say you didn't. Then yesh l'nakoy so ofriyur shetachas et sipernayim. In that case, clean out the nails very well. Because really, the main reason why we cut our nails is not so much the nail, it's the dirt that gets embedded under the nail, which is the chatzitza. So writes the Matthew Ephraim, if you can't, meaning you can't do both on the same day, and you already did one, what do you do now? So you should clean out the nail well. This way, you don't have a problem. There's a big shayla. Someone grata came to me a few months ago with this shayla on a Friday night. Let's say a lady forgot to cut her nails on a Friday night. So you can't cut your nails on Shabbos. That's a malacha. So what does she do with the mikvah? So some of the place can say, well, have a guy bite it off.
Oh my God.
Good luck. Let me know how that goes. And you find a guy who's willing to do it and a wife who's willing to let the guy do it, then Mashiach Shem will come. Okay. So there's a Gansa Shiloh. So what happens if you can't cut the nail? So then many places can say, so just clean it well. Make sure there's no dirt. That you can do on Shabbos. You can take a something and clean out the dirt. Yeah. Q-tip is a little harder. Toothpick's better, right? So that's a big Shiloh. So writes the Matthew Ephraim, if you cut already, you can't cut both on the same day, clean out one. So what impression you get from this Matthew Ephraim? You get from this Matthew Ephraim that this is a serious thing, this nails and toes on the same day. And since you can't do both, you gotta at least clean it out. The problem is, there's another Matthew Ephraim in Hilchos Sukkos, number 5. The Matthew Ephraim is talking about going to the mikvah before Sukkos. So he writes, V'akoponim yesh litlo in koidim sheitvol taras me berego. You should cut your toenails 2 days before. And if you didn't cut them, you could do it on Yom Tov. So here the Matthew Ephraim seems to be much more relaxed with cutting the toenails and the fingernails on the same day. Why by Yom Kippur was he more machmir? So the Elof Lamata 6b says, Ashtikal Torah. He says, because on Yom Kippur, every Yom Kippur, we're much more frum. You know, we're much more careful with what we do. So we don't want to do anything that could be dangerous. If it's dangerous to cut your toenails and fingernails on the same day, we're not taking a chance on Erev Yom Kippur. Yeah, we're not. That's a famous word, why we do vidui before the Suda Mesekes, you may choke, we may choke. The guy eats every day of the year, he knows no choking. No chances on Erev Yom Kippur. It's like, let's look at what he says over here. I don't know that someone told me, I don't know if it's true or not, that why is it bad to cut the nails and toes on the same day? Because when a person dies and they do tahara, that's the only time they do both on the same day. So that's why this is dangerous. Okay, I get maybe. That's what everyone told me when I gave the share my shul. Like, of course, we heard that when we were 5 years old. Now, I don't have the guts to say that a lot of things you heard when you were 5 years old attack above ISIS. It could be this is not. I have no idea. But I wouldn't say everything I heard when I was 5 years old is halachah l'mesh mesina. But it does make sense. It's a logical pshat that since when a person dies, they attack do both on the same day. So we don't want to do both on the same day. Then we understand that attack on Erev Yom Kippur is the one day you definitely don't want to do anything that's could give off the wrong impression. But l'maisa, what you see from the Matthew Ephraim is l'chayr. The Matthew Ephraim took this very seriously. The shayla is, and my wife asked me the shayla. She told me she remembers when she was in kala classes, she asked her kala teacher this question. So what's a girl supposed, a woman who goes to the mikvah, what's she supposed to do?
She's not, you go one on one day and one on the next day.
You have to remember that. Yeah, a lot of things to ask these women. You're lucky if these women can get a chafiva done. They have 3 kids banging on the door, they have something on the oven burning, you're lucky they can get a chafiva done. You know how many shaylas we get with women that basically say they don't have time to do a chafiva properly? It's very hard today.
Is chafiva cutting or cleaning?
Chafiva is everything. It's all, right, it's all the prep. It's a long prep, a long list, and taking a bath and doing this against a... Right. It's really just to ensure that the tefillah is a kosher tefillah. So my wife told me, she asked the kala teacher this question years ago. The kala teacher was a kosher lady. And she said, it's not a problem. She didn't really answer her why. So I thought, that's not a good kosher. So if you hold like the Arizal, so then it's not a kosher. So the Arizal holds is not a problem. So I taka found Reb Chaim Noe in the Ktzais HaShulchan. He says, not a problem, because Shema Mitzvah Le'yeda Dovera. So it's a mitzvah. Since women are doing it for mitzvah, it's not such a problem. So only a aura I was thinking is lefizah. So what's the big tumult with the men in the Matthew Ephraim? The Mount Ephraim had a whole problem about on Erev Kippur, the same day. What happened to Shemim Mitzvah Leidah Devara? There it says, a man going to the mikvah on Erev Kippur is not as big of a mitzvah as a lady going to the mikvah. That's a simple answer. So Lamaisa, said, that's what women are saying, Mechan, I think. I think that's what women are saying, Mechan, that they, I guess in theory, if a lady taka remembers, she should probably try to do one the night before, one the other day. But I guess if a lady doesn't remember, so I think she has this Reb Chaim Noah, to be saying, Mechan, that Reb Chaim Noah says that since she's doing it to the mitzvah, it's not a problem. When does the clock start?
I know he uses Shem for Pesach. Was he a Rishon?
Chaim Noah. No. Chaim Noah lived in Eretz Yisrael in the 1930s. Reb Chaim Noah lived in Yerushalayim.
So why did we use his Shem before the Chazanish? Because
all the Yerushalmis do use this. He was in Yerushalayim before the Chazanish came to town. Rabbi Yashiv said he said the minhag in Yerushalayim was always to follow Reb Chaim Noah because he was there before the Chazanish came.
But most of his Pesachim, am I right, is only about Pesach?
No, he has a whole Sefer Noor Chaim. First of all, it's Shurim, not just Pesach. He has on every shurim, anything that has to do with shurim. But he wrote a sefer called Ktzayis HaShulchan. It's like how many volumes? It goes to the beginning of our, we're going to quote him a lot in the next couple of shurim. But it's a running commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. He writes a lot of interesting things. So Reb Chaim Noah, the Reb Yashiv said, he remembers in Yerushalayim. Everyone followed Reb Chaim Noah. Today you tell someone to use Reb Chaim Noah shurim, they're not going to be mashadach with you. His shurim are very makel. He had a much more makel approach to how big this is and how much that. So today you tell people, use Reb Chaim Noah, they think you're a goy. But Reb Chaim Noah was the Pesach in Yerushalayim in the 1930s. So when does the clock start for night and day for cutting the nails and toes on the same day? So what are the choices? You can say, yes, I cut my toenails Monday. Does it go day into night or night into day? So if you look over here, I picked a sefer. Again, this is pretty standard. Most achrenim assume that the way it works is it goes night into day. Like Judaism. So therefore what? So if I cut my toenails tonight, I can't cut my fingernails tomorrow. So let's say Thursday night, a person cuts his toenails after, I guess, shki, etzeis, whatever. He can't cut them on Friday. But let's say he cuts them Thursday morning. So then Thursday night, he can cut already the other one. So I guess for, let's say, a lady, again, for a lady, it's a little bit more complicated, but that's how the clock works for this halacha. I'm trying to see if I can get through most of this relatively fast, but Lamaisa, Reb Shmuel Kamenetsky is not so machma with these halachas. Hitaka writes that if a person has very long nails comes Shabbos, and they already cut the other, so he thinks in that case, Hitaka cut the other. This whole din of not cutting the fingernails on the toes, that's only when the efsher, when you could do both. But when already it's the efsher, then he thinks it's not such a problem to cut both on the same day.
And everyone agrees you should do your hands before your feet, no?
I think so, yeah. Then if you look in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, he just writes, he calls it a sakana. He says, the reason why we don't do it is because of sakana. And that was the practice of the Munkach Rebbe as well. He was also taka makbid not to do it. And those also want to debunk this Arizal. That Arizal wasn't makbid, they say that's probably not true, and don't worry about what that Arizal did. So halacha l'maaseh, we try to stay clear of cutting both on the same day. We try to stay clear of cutting them kiseder as well. So again, Mr. Hashem, next week we'll do one shiur on more about cutting nails, and then the following week we'll talk about prusbol. Maybe we'll do 2 weeks on prusbol. I'll have to see if I get the material fast enough together to talk about prusbol. But b'li neder, one of the subsequent weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we will tackle that topic as well. Okay.